Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. Thanks for listening. May the Almighty God enable you to understand and benefit from His holy word both now and forever. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to these words of Jesus, telling us about the kingdom of heaven and the great value that it should have in our sight, we pray, dear Father, that we do see it that way and that we are willing to give up everything in order to be members of that heavenly kingdom. If that is not true for us now, may you get a hold of us, show us what is most valuable, and lead us to repentance so that we might rejoice the most in Jesus Christ our Savior, and know for certain that through Him we are members of your kingdom, and we will, by grace through faith, be with you forever. Bless us now as we go to your holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I think all of us tend to put a value on various things in life, and I think the things we value are probably the things that receive our time, our attention, even our passion. You know, think about what you value. Think about the time you invest, the attention you give, the passion you put toward those things that you believe are valuable. So what about in your life now? Think about your own life. Think about the things that you value. Do they tend to be things that are more physical or more spiritual? Are they things that really are of a temporal nature, that when this world is done, those things will be done too? Or are they of an eternal nature, things that are valuable now and things that will be very valuable forever and ever? These are things that only we can answer as individuals. The last two Sundays, we've been focusing on Matthew, the 13th chapter, and that chapter includes seven parables. So seven earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Today, we go on to parables 5, 6, and 7. Parables 5 and 6, which I've already read, those point to people who value one thing far, far above everything else. Parable 7, it points ahead to this great sorting that will take place on the day that Jesus comes. And I think we could say that the great sorting as to where we end up being sorted, that correlates with what we invest our time in, our effort in, and what we're passionate about. Let's go on to the first part. Going back to the sermon title question again, how do you view the kingdom of heaven? Do you view it like treasure hidden in a field? Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, picking up in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field when a man found it. Now, was he on purpose looking for it, or did he stumble across it? We don't know, but the point is, he found it, and when he did, Jesus said he hid it again, and then, in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. So with each of these parables, we have an earthly meaning down lower, we have a heavenly meaning up higher. So the earthly meaning here, think about it like this. Long ago, 2,000 years ago, banks were somewhat unreliable. We can only imagine. So what would people do? They would have their treasure and they would bury it somewhere. Now, if you bury your treasure somewhere and you want to keep it as safe as possible, what do you do? You don't tell anybody, because that way only you know where that treasure is. Only you can go and find it and dig it up. So what would happen sometimes is that maybe a man would bury his treasure, he would go off to war, and he would die in the war. Now no one else knows where that treasure is. Or maybe the man would bury it, not tell anyone, and somehow unexpectedly he would die. If he knew he was dying, he would whisper to someone and say, "Hey, my treasure is such and such," but without the opportunity, he would die, and no one would know where the treasure was. So imagine the treasure is buried, it's unknown, the person who owns the treasure is gone, so you have someone now who is digging in that area and comes across this great treasure. What does the person do? He comes across the treasure, he looks at the treasure, he recognizes the great value of the treasure, he's super excited about having found the treasure, so what does he do? Very quickly, kind of looks around, no one's looking, he buries it again, and then he realizes that the piece of property here where the treasure is at, that's going to cost a substantial amount. So what he does then is he gladly sells all that he has, and with great joy, he takes all that he has and he purchases that property so that treasure then would belong to him. That's really what we have going on in the earthly sense of the parable. What is the heavenly meaning, though? We have the regular, normal, heavenly meaning here, which I'm sure you can imagine what it would be. Dr. Kretzmann stated it well. He wrote, "The point of the parable is that the kingdom of heaven outweighs in value all else, and that the man who understands this will, with pleasure, part with all." So the man who understands that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, through Jesus Christ is the only way for us to have forgiveness, is the only way for us to be with God forever. When he finds that great treasure, he is willing to give up everything in order to have that treasure. So what about us? Do we value the kingdom of heaven in that way? Or do we kind of want to have our cake and eat it too, if you will? Oh yeah, heaven's important, I want to go there someday, but I've got a whole bunch of stuff going on down here, and that really, this thing over here, yeah, someday, kingdom of heaven. Right here, though, this is really important stuff to me, and a lot of times this stuff over here is, in fact, what I'm more passionate about, what gives more of my time and energy. And over here, oh yeah, that's important too, but not really as important as the stuff over here. These are hard things. God wants us to really examine ourselves and say, are we willing to give up everything? A little bit of another interpretation here. I don't think this is what Jesus intended, but it's a nice way to think about our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lutheran Study Bible, it said, "We could have the field as the world, the treasure as you, and the man as Jesus Christ." So do you get the idea there? In that Jesus found you and he said, "Wow, you are so valuable. I want you so much that I'm going to set aside the glory of heaven. I'm going to give up everything in order to come down here and live in your place and then take your sin and take your punishment. And I'm going to purchase you with my holy precious blood." So Jesus gave up everything in order to have you and me. I don't think that's what Jesus meant there, but certainly, did Jesus do that for us? By all means. As he did that for us, isn't it only fitting that as ones who follow Jesus Christ, as ones who are benefiting from his great saving work, that we would then have him as our all in all? Let's go on to the second one then. The question again is, how do you view the kingdom of heaven? Do you view it like a pearl of great value? Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So what is the earthly meaning here? In this case, the man's looking was deliberate because he was a businessman, he was a merchant, and what was his business? To look for and to buy fine pearls. So as he was looking, he did find a super fine pearl. And what is his goal then? His goal is to buy low and sell high. So he must have found this pearl, and when he found it, he knew, wow, this is just a perfect pearl. It is of great, great value. So he goes up to the man and says, hey, how much would you like to sell the pearl for? And the price a man gives is like way down here. This man has no idea what he has, but still, though, it's a fair amount of money, but in fact, the pearl is worth much, much more than that. So what does a man do? He is so excited to be able to pay this price because the pearl is actually worth this price. But even to pay this price, it's going to take him having to sell everything he has, put it all together, and buy it here. And once he buys it here, he's going to have riches that are unbelievable because it's really worth much, much more than most people understand. Isn't that how the kingdom of heaven is? People kind of want to say, well, I'm busy with life and kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ, that sounds like a nice thing, but really I have other things to think about now, maybe someday. They're showing that it's not important to them, it's not valuable at all. What did Jesus say? He did not come to save the righteous, but sinners. What is the problem with most people, I think? They maybe know they are sinners, but they don't know the serious nature of sin. They don't know that even one sin separates us from God. Even one sin will keep us apart from God forever and ever. Even with one sin, we are in desperate, desperate need of Jesus Christ. People don't know that. They think they're okay without Jesus. Well, again, going to the heavenly meaning, Dr. Kretzmann has a nice answer here. He writes, he who has learned to know this priceless gift, in other words, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, such a person, he writes, will gladly renounce all goods, joys, and delights of this world and consider all human wisdom and righteousness as loss in order to gain Jesus Christ. Again, what about us? Do we see that great value? Do we know that in our sins we are lost, we are condemned, we are facing a most horrible eternity, and there's nothing we can do to escape it? And we know that only in Jesus Christ is there true salvation, redemption, forgiveness, and heaven? God wants us to see the great contrast. He wants us to know how bad the bad news is without Jesus Christ, and he wants us to know how good the good news is in Jesus Christ. It's not like they're close at all. It's the greatest contrast that we can imagine. And then in the third part, again, we have the question, how do you view the kingdom of heaven? Do you view it like a net with all kinds of fish? Jesus said, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. Let me stop there, and let's go to the earthly meaning. So try to imagine that we have maybe out on the Sea of Galilee, and they have two boats now, not real far apart, but two boats, and they stretch a net between the two boats, and then they are moving toward the shore. And as they move toward the shore, what are they doing? Everything in the path of that net is being swept into that net. Whether it's garbage that's in the lake, whether it's good fish, whether it's bad fish, whatever it might be, it's all being swept into that net. And then they bring the net up on the shore, and they start looking through what's in the net, and the fish that is good, it goes in the baskets to be able to eat or to sell, and what is bad, it is thrown away. Jesus didn't say it's thrown back. It's not like you catch a bad fish and throw it back into the lake so someone else can catch a bad fish. Rather, it is thrown on the garbage pile, if you will. Nobody wants that thing. This is one of those parables, just like the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds. We have Jesus telling the parable and then explaining the parable. Right here, Jesus again gives us the explanation. Notice what he said in verse 49. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Going to the heavenly meaning, again, I'm going to rely on Dr. Kretzmann here. He just wrote it out so well. He wrote, "The working of the gospel preaching results in an outward collection of such as are really members of the kingdom and of such as merely bear the resemblance of such membership but have not accepted the gospel. Thus, they have not accepted the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done to take away their own sins." So we have this large net of the gospel, and it's collecting both people who are true believers and people who only appear to be believers. And then Dr. Kretzmann goes on to write, the latter, those would be the ones who merely look like believers, the latter add to the bulk, but they do not belong to the essence. So imagine with the net that you've got, wow, you've got like so many fish in the net, it's hard to believe. But then you look closely and it's like, wow, 3/4 of them are the ones that we throw away. Only 1/4 of them are actually the ones that are keepers. He goes on to write, on the last day, the separation will take place and the sorting will result in the eternal condemnation of those who were merely pretending membership, who in reality care nothing for faith and salvation. That can happen so easily. I know I was in that category at one point. It's not that I didn't care, but I thought I had something when I didn't. Like it says in Proverbs 14, it says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Sometimes it can seem so right that, oh, I go to church every week, I put some money in the offering plate, I try to be a good guy. Wow, that seems like I'm a Christian. It makes so much sense. It fits in even with Scripture in many respects. Some people get in that mode, and they're kind of living outwardly as if they're Christians, and actually even inside, they think they really are in Christ. They think they really are the forgiven children of God, when in fact, if you really pin them down and said, hey, why do you think God will let you into heaven? They would say, well, I go to church every week, I put money in the offering plate, and I try to be a good guy. Is that the answer? Is that what we're looking for? By no means. God wants us to know that no matter how faithful we are in going through those motions, that will not save anybody. I'm so glad that you guys are faithful in those things. I praise God for that, but that's not the way to heaven. Jesus Christ, he is the way to heaven. He is God, his perfect living, his sacrificial dying. He is our only ticket to heaven. So even though we see the sad news that many will be cast into a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, let us know that's not true for us who know Jesus Christ. We will be blessed forever and ever, not because of what we have done, but all because of what he has done for us and because of the relationship that God has given us with him. Finally, in verses 51 and 52, Jesus said, have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Let's see if we can put that in context for us a little bit. So, what does God do? I believe God wants to equip all of us to be teachers of his word. Now, maybe not teachers in the sense that we think about sometimes within the walls of our congregation, the walls of our building here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, but teachers nonetheless. So think about parents being teachers amongst their family and amongst their friends. Think about any of us being teachers among our neighbors or among our coworkers. Think about us teaching each other here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church simply over a cup of coffee and a donut. We can teach each other. We can share the word of God with each other. We can be a blessing to each other. God wants all of us to be equipped more and more with that word of God to be teachers. And then think for a moment about those who learn the Bible kind of being like people who own a house. How many of you own a house and you have accumulated a lot of stuff in your house? As we have many things in our homes, we have newer things, we have older things within our homes, what should we be doing? We should be thinking about what we have, we should be recognizing who is in need, and we should be sharing what we have with people who are in physical need. It's a good way to go through our lives as Christians. In fact, Natalia has provided the area out there in the narthex, and basically she's saying to you, go through your stuff, whatever you don't need, put it in that corner. And Natalia has said, I will take it down to Redeemer Crisis Center, and there are many people down there that could use the things that we have that we don't need or that we're not using. But what about a spiritual sense here, though? All of us sin as ones who are learning the Bible more and more. We have older things that we've known for a long time, and then we are always learning newer things too. So what should we do? We should realize that there are many people within our families, within our neighborhoods, within our workplaces, even within our own congregation who need what we have. So we should be communicating with people, we should be seeing what their needs are, and then we are taking from our Bible knowledge of newer things and older things, and we are sharing that information with them so that might be a spiritual, eternal blessing for them. I hope you can see the difference how things in our homes, let's share those with those with physical needs, the things we know about the Word of God, let's share such with people who have spiritual needs. Well, let me conclude in this way. I pray that all of us are not only aware of, but we are sorry for our sins. I pray that we are certain, each one of us, that we are certain that through Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of our sins. We are members in God's kingdom. We are the very children of God. And then, with those two realities being true, I pray that we understand that there is nothing more important than our membership in God's kingdom, that we are willing to give up everything in order to continue in Jesus Christ. And then, understanding that reality, may God show us that it's important then that we are directing our time, our attention, our passion toward our membership in God's kingdom. We want to grow up in that membership. We want to share that with others so they might be members of God's kingdom too. So may God help us to know that the Bible is an important part of that, that God is using the Bible to nourish us, to strengthen us, to equip us. And then let's step back for a moment and realize, wow, we are so very blessed knowing Jesus Christ, being in the kingdom, being equipped with the Word of God. We should see that. We should greatly rejoice in that. And then, finally, as we have been blessed, may God help us to be a great blessing to others. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. For more sermons and studies, visit us on the web at BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you have questions or comments, email them to pastor@blc7500.com. For convenient listening, subscribe to our podcast. Search in the iTunes store for Benefit from the Bible. If you are led to support this Bible ministry, you may send your tax-deductible contribution to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 7500 State Road, Parma, Ohio, 44134. If you live in our area, come and join us. If you live far away, seek out a congregation in your area that rightly handles God's word of truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.